morning to you all. We welcome you to Grace Bible Church today. And in our call to worship, I'm drawing your attentions this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to be in this passage today in our service. But I want to draw out two verses of Scripture where the Apostle Paul in verse 10 had said, "And indeed you do it toward all the brethren," speaking of their love to those that were in the church, and said, "which are also in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing." You know, it's an amazing thing that living life in this world in Jesus Christ is very practical. It's not pie in the sky. It's not mystical. In the sense that when we have duties to perform, we're to do them. And he says, you know, you need to study. Make it your ambition to be living a quiet life. That's what he says there. And then to do your own business. Not to be dependent on somebody else, but rather, and obviously there's exceptions to that because people may not be able to work because of physical limitations or whatever, but to work and do your own business. And that you work with your own hands. Learning that labor is one of the original virtues. Isn't that what the Lord gave Adam in the garden when he was by himself? He was working. He had a purpose. And whenever we substitute other things for God's plan for his people, and we have put in this codependency upon government and everybody else, and I don't have to do anything. People went crazy when they said, "We're going to put in a work requirement for being on welfare." And they were just going crazy. "Oh, this is awful. This is terrible." But that's a good thing. They need to work with their hands. Even if they can't move with their feet, they can learn to work with their hands and be productive. So the Lord here says, "I've given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And life here upon this earth until I come is to be lived practically and honestly before men." I'm so thankful for the testimony of this passage of Scripture here to remind the Thessalonian believers that they weren't to quit their jobs and wait for the Lord to come back. That was not their job. They were to be busy. They were to conduct their business. They were to live honestly before others, work with their own hands, study, make it your ambition to live a quiet life in Christ Jesus. And so I'm so thankful for what the Lord has shared with us. It gives us a base of understanding here in this world that if a man won't work, you understand now what Paul says through the pen of inspiration, he should not eat. Now people say, "Oh, that's ungracious, that's unkind." No, that's just practical. Obviously, people that need help, we should help. I'm not saying that at all. But there are some people that are lazy. And they do not labor, they do not work, and they don't understand the virtue that God has laid out in His Word. And so I want to encourage you today as we look at these three principles that are found here before He gets to the great truth of the rapture that's yet future, He tells us how to live life here. And I'm so thankful for that today. Let's turn together now in our hymn books to number 17. Number 17 in the front of our hymnal. Thou art worthy.
Yeah.
Please remain standing for prayer as Roger comes to lead us.
Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful we can be in your house this morning. Lord, we're needy people. We're so thankful that you've told us in your word that where two or three are gathered in your son's name, you'd be there in the midst of us. Lord, we pray that you would undertake, as your word is open to us today, whatever the need might be, we pray that the light of the word would penetrate the deep recesses of our hearts, that we might be open and receptive to what that word will work and do in our hearts and lives. Lord, we think of several people that are suffering right now. We think of little Benaiah, this five-year-old boy who was tragically injured by a lawnmower, facing further surgeries possibly in the next couple days. Lord, some serious decisions that have to be made by doctors and nurses. Lord, we just pray that you would bring healing to that young boy and also be with his family as they go through this terrible time. We pray that you would be with Travis. We know that he's got a scan coming up and possible surgery beyond that. Lord, I pray that you would just encourage him and allow him to be trusting fully in you as he goes through this health crisis. Lord, we know that you'll be close to him and that you'll guide him through this. Lord, we think of those that are not here due to traveling. We think of ladies that are associated with our church, our families, that are expecting right now. Lord, we pray that you would just bless them, allow the pregnancies to go smoothly and deliveries to go smoothly as well. Lord, we just uphold them in prayer. We think of those that are traveling away from us this summer, keep them safe on the roads. And then, Lord, we would ask that you would be with all the things taking place on this campus throughout the summer with camp kicking off tomorrow, swimming lessons. Lord, there's always that danger in the pool. Lord, we just pray that you'd have your hand upon the lifeguards, that there would be safety all summer long. And we'll praise and thank you for what you do. Lord, we're thankful that we're able to gather in a free country. We're thankful that we were born here, that we have the opportunity to share the gospel unhindered by law. And we pray that you would just bless this ministry as it seeks to send the gospel light out. Lord, we pray for our men and women in the service. We're so thankful for them, and we pray that you'd have your hand of protection on them. And those that know you as Savior, help them to be salt and light. Lord, bless our first responders. Be with our country. May we continue to support Israel and be a strong ally there, Lord. And we do pray that you'll bless in our service, that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, and that we would be receptive to your word today. Bless as we lift up our voices in song and praise to thee, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn together to number 599. 599, constantly abiding. We'll sing on the first and second stanzas only of 599.
Come.
turn together now to number 575. Be strong in the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing on all three stanzas. Number 575.
Oh,
take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians. While you're turning there, I want to highlight two of our missionaries to remember this week in prayer. First of all, Josh and Marta Valcarcel in Barcelona, Spain. They have a church and camp ministry there. They are sent out from our church, and we want to pray for them. They're entering into that camp season. They've also applied for a permit to do some additions to that 17th century property that they have. And so pray that the Lord would bless. They'll be granted the permitting so they can get this building work done for later summer camp activities in this fall coming up. And then also we want to remember in prayer Rahm and Rachel Ribeiro. They have a church planting ministry in Brazil. He has a broadcast on the BBN Brazil radio network. And then also he's the dean of the Jimmy Rose Christian School there. So very varied ministry there for he and Rachel. And so we want to uphold them in prayer faithfully, that the Lord would sustain them in their very busy work, and that God would give them souls. So let's pray much for these two missionary families this week. Keep them in your prayers. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to read again the passage of Scripture that we are in. We're moving toward the great teaching on the rapture, the upward calling of the church. And I want to read again, beginning at verse 9, which starts this last paragraph before we get into verse 14. But to beginning at verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." Third time that phrase is used here in this passage. "And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing." Father in heaven, I pray that you would anoint this preacher to communicate the word of God. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would take the truth that's found here and drive it into our hearts. Lord, how we need to be reminded of these truths, that life on this earth is practical. The Christian life is practical. It's not pie in the sky. It's not mystical. We don't sit at home and in a trance trying to live the Christian life. No, we're active. We're outside. We're telling others about Jesus Christ. We're working with our hands. We're studying to live a quiet life and doing our own business. These are principles upon which we are to live our lives here upon this earth. And I pray that you would anoint your word in our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to pick up where we left off last time, and we're dealing with this subject of the challenge to the loving ones. And I think it's important that we emphasize again that Christian living is not stagnant. You've all come across a stagnant body of water before. It stinks. It smells bad because the water is not moving. If you have a fountain, normally you'll have some type of a bubbler or something that keeps the water moving so it doesn't get stagnant. It doesn't get filled with bacteria and then be something that's not pleasant, but rather unpleasant. And he says, you know, I don't even have need to tell you to love others, because you're already taught of God. Now, how are they taught of God when they didn't have anything written down other than the Old Testament scriptures? Well, there's much in the Old Testament about loving God, but also the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling them teaches us to love one another. But we don't get satisfied with the status quo. It's easy to fall into that mode of the status quo. Okay, I'm loving others. I gave my money to help out in this particular situation. I'm praying for somebody over here, and so I'm good. No, we're not. Because what does he say? That you might abound more and more. And in the language of that, it's in the continuous action. It's like more and more and more and more. Paul, when is it going to stop? It never does. It just keeps growing. I think a lot of the problems that we experience in churches all across America and around the world with people that can't get along with each other is we never learn to love each other more and more. The Bible's practical, folks. When people can't get along in a local church, there's a love problem. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins, offenses. You know, it's easy to sit back and be critical. I can't believe so-and-so is doing that. I would never do that. And so-and-so over there, you know, they should know better. And we get this negative attitude all the time. How about praying for them? How about going alongside and encouraging them? How about loving them more and more? We've got to get that. This is a phrase that Paul uses four times in his two epistles. When we get to chapter 1 and verse 3, we're going to see the same Greek language. It's translated a little differently in the King James, but it's the same thing, abound more and more. The Christian life, remember what John said? The writer, when he got to talking about, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And then what does God do? He prunes the branches. Every year we have to go out and prune our blueberry bushes. Cut them back. You go through and you find the oldest stalk in a blueberry thing and you cut it out. Cut it out. Well, you're going to kill it. No, you're not. You're going to help it. You cut out the old stalk so the new stalk can come in, and the next year you can have more and more what? Blueberries. You ever gone to Lundy's blueberry patch at the end of the growing season and see what they do to those blueberry bushes? They go in there, and they just cut them all off. They're only about that tall when they're all done. But you know what amazingly happens? July, August, September, October, those things start growing and shooting up. And then the next season, they're loaded with blueberries again, and they have more and more. Pruning is a good thing. You might think, oh, that's hurtful. No, it's not. It's helpful. And God wants us to grow in love more and more. Now, what does that look like? This is the amazing thing about the Word of God. He says we're to abound more and more in love. But what does that look like? Is it syrupy sentimentalism? Oh, I love you so much. And hanging all over each other, and at the same time, cussing them in your mind. We would never do that. Oh, it happens all the time. You know? Syrupy sentimentalism. That's not what it looks like. It's practical. It's practical. I want you to see this. Just because one loves others does not mean that they have reached the pinnacle of Christian living. I want you to think about that. Just because you are currently loving others does not mean you've reached the pinnacle. You're still going. And there's more growth to go. A blueberry bush, I use that as an example because I have those in my yard, has changed sizes over the years. When I first moved there, they were just giant, wild growing. So we cut them way down. Started all over again. And then they started sending up shoots and able to get big again. We cut them back down and they grow back up again. That's the pattern that you do when you're dealing with fruit trees. You have to trim them back. Our crepe myrtles out here in the front. My dad faithfully every year comes out here in the fall, late fall, and he's out there on his ladder. It scares me half to death, but he's out there trimming, cutting them back. So that in the springtime, we get to this time of the year when crepe myrtles start blooming, they're beautiful. But you have to cut them back in order to get more blossoms and blooms in the future. So there's a principle here. We're to abound more and more and more, continuous action, habitual action, more and more until we meet Jesus. That's the pattern. So, the exhortation to abound in love means something. It means something. How do I show my love to somebody else? Do I show my love by being a moocher? Anybody know what a moocher is? Yeah. So, some poor missionaries got the title moochinaries because it seemed like they're all the time asking for money. But you know what? It takes money to be able to minister. But understand something. God doesn't want us to be parasites, just hanging on and other people having to support us. No, that's not love. Thank you for loving me and taking care of all my needs, everybody, while I sit at home and gossip. Or I sit at home and do nothing. No. What does love abounding more and more look like? Number one, it means to study to be quiet. The word study there is not what you think. It's not like taking lessons on how to be quiet. It has the idea of ambition. Let your ambition be to live a quiet life. Now, what all does that mean? I think this is very, very important to understand the original language here and what was being communicated. Some of the people at the church at Thessalonica had quit their jobs in anticipation of the coming of the Lord. They thought it was going to be really soon, so they were quitting their jobs, they were staying at home, and now they were a burden to the local church. How are we going to take care of them when only a handful are working and all these people have quit and they're just they got all this time on their hands? And what do we do when we're idle? We start studying other people's business because our business is not going on. All right? Ambitious to live a quiet life. Let me just share some things on this subject here. We are to study to be quiet. But I want you to think. The inclination of human beings, this is for all of us, all right, is to occupy our time with things that really are not meaningful. We live in the entertainment culture today. People are constantly studying. When's the next movie coming out? What's the next thing we can play? Their whole concept, life has to be fun. Now, I like fun just like anybody else. But my whole life purpose is not to have fun. We went to a funeral yesterday. Was that fun? Obviously, that's not a time to be cracking jokes and laughing and carrying on. It's more of a memorial time. We want to think about the one that's passed. We want to think about the ones that are alive and need Jesus Christ. So there's patterns and times for fun, but some people orient their entire life to entertainment. But what is noticeable about entertainment? Once it's all done, it's done. It doesn't have any lasting value to it, right? Let's compare this to a ride, right? You go to an amusement park and you take a ride. We'll take Space Mountain at Disney World. When we had the kids were little, we went to Space Mountain and, Dad, let's do it again. So we'd go get our fast pass and we'd go stand in line and we'd go up there and we'd do it again. It's over with. Get back. Let's do it again. So we go get our fast pass. And by the time midnight got there, we had done it I don't know how many different times. And we went home completely exhausted. Dad, can we do it again tomorrow? Okay? It's just like a quick buzz, like a cup of coffee. That's the thing about entertainment. It does not last. What things last? Making your ambition to live a quiet life. Can you be satisfied without all the bells and whistles and activity 24/7? We just got to be going. Wait a minute, stop. God has the beauty of His creation. Can you go sit on the side of a river and fish for a little bit? Go for a walk out in nature? Take the time to, at night, take a lawn chair and go outside away from the lights and look up at the stars and see the beauty of God's creation? Well, that's not fun. But it's of lasting value. You know, the Bible gives us at least 10 different star patterns in the Scriptures. And how am I going to know where they are if I don't look up? The curse of the smartphone. All day long. And then we go to bed and we're going. It takes us forever to go to sleep because we got this, the buzz. And then we wake up in the morning. What did I miss last night? Oh, I missed that. I should have watched that on TV last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. No! No. We're hearing more and more now in the media, this is interesting to me, about stepping away from our technology. How many of you have noticed that? We're hearing more and more about that. Why? Because it hasn't had a positive impact on us. Our life is not quiet anymore. It's run, 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 run. And God, that's not God's plan for us. He's told us. Make it your ambition to live a quiet life. It's okay to take time to stop. It's all right. You don't have to feel bad when you stop. We need to learn to do that. Jesus taught that to his disciples, did he not? He went away to pray. They'd go to this area and they'd stay away for a little while and just rest from all the labor. That's important as believers in Christ. Study. Make it your ambition to live a quiet life. That comes from God to you and to me. It's easy to allow things to get out of hand. And especially this amusement park, entertainment mindset that we have, where we just have to be running and playing and running and playing all the time. We got to get all of our worldly toys together, all of our boats and all this, that, and the other. And we just got to be run all the time. And then when we get home, oh, we got to do that again sometime. Because it wasn't satisfying. It's not satisfying. It's just a rat race. You're like the little rat. We had, well, it wasn't a rat. What was it? A guinea pig that we had? Brownie. That animal got in its little cage thing, you know, the big Ferris wheel. And at night, squeak, 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 squeak. And he'd just be going in his cage. Just a going. And you'd have to go in there with a WD-40, middle of the night. I was hoping that he'd whiff some of it, maybe pass him out or whatever, and spray him with it. But Brownie, I mean, my wife can hear things. She's got excellent ears. I don't. But she could hear that thing going. And he'd just be running, and then he'd stop for a little while, then take a break, and then get back in there. That's how most people live life here upon this earth, and it's not God's plan for you. Wise up! We're burning the candle at both ends, and God's the one that's getting the raw end of the deal. Because he doesn't have a full you, he just has a piece of you. Where he can touch you and say, I need this labor over here. I need you to help out over here. Oh no, well, God, we don't have time. We're playing. We're running here and running out. We don't have time for that. Make it your ambition to be quiet, to live a quiet life. Number two, that's how love looks like, by the way. What does it mean to abound more and more? To make it your ambition to be quiet. And number two, can everybody say it with me? Do your own business. Wait a minute, Paul. Now you've gone to meddling. Okay? You've gone to meddling. I heard the story of a pastor was telling about how he grew up, and his grandparents lived right down the street. So when he'd get off the school bus, this was back in the 50s, this is an older pastor was telling the story. He said he'd go to his grandparents' house first as he's walking by because they lived here. And two houses down, they lived there. So he would stop and he'd go to the backyard and say, Grandpa! And he said, somewhere out of the shed, out of the garage, Grandpa would come out and say, come on in, buddy. And so they would go inside. He'd have something for him like that. And he said, every time I went inside, my grandmother was on the phone. And she was always getting information. What are you doing, Grandma? I'm getting information. She had a notebook, he said, right beside the phone. and she had a number two pencil. And it was the old rotary dial phones. Anybody remember those? Yeah. And she'd flip the pencil around. As soon as she'd hang up, click, she'd look over her notes, and she'd look in the phone book to get that, and she'd take her number two pencil eraser end down, and she was calling her friend to give them more information. He said, my grandmother was the information central for our street. She knew everything that was going on. She knew exactly what was happening, and she told everybody what was going on. He said, that's the memory of my grandmother. A telephone and a notebook and a number two pencil. My grandpa, he said, on the other hand, happy, working in the backyard, cleaning up. He would do things. He said, but my grandmother was always on the phone. And he said, it couldn't help me but to remember this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 about studying to do your own business. This is a problem that erases the concept of love for each other. When we're all the time spreading, we're all guilty of this. None of us here can say, that's not me. We all do this. We get bits and pieces. And then we develop this whole story from the bits and pieces. We call it fiction. Okay? There's some element that's in there that's true. We just don't know what elements are. You know, but we got to tell it because it's really juicy. To do your own business. When we love each other like we ought to, we pray for each other, but we don't tell stories on each other and spread gossip and things that just are not true. That's not genuine love. Now, obviously, if there's a prayer request that needs, but we share a prayer request, all right? But we have to be careful in this regard. Study to be quiet, all right? Seek earnestly to have a quiet and calm life. Do our own business. This is also in the present tense, continuous action. This is part of the moral will of God. Keep on, more and more, okay, continuous action, doing your own business. Don't get sidetracked. All right? It's easy to get sidetracked. You come to a fork in the road, which one do I take? All right? Well, guess what? Stay on the right road. Stay on the right road. Don't get sidetracked. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to talk about the old coon dog that was supposed to be hunting rabbits or hunting something else, and something would cross the trail, and the dog would take off down the trail going after something else when he's supposed to be going after rabbits. All right? Well, let me tell you something. We got to be careful because Satan will send all kinds of things across our pathway. And if you're not careful, you'll get deviated from where you're supposed to be, and you're over here doing all this over here, and you think it's worthy and noble when it's not. Instead, have the habit of attending to your own interests and responsibilities. Pious idlers could have a damaging effect on the local church. That's what Paul's saying here. Pious idlers. Boy, there's a phrase. Pious. I'm doing the will of God. Okay? Sitting at home, collecting information so I can share it. Right? Idlers. Not doing anything of purpose with the hands. He's going to get to that next. But to do your own business. Make it your business to do what God wants you to do. But also make it your business to carry out your responsibilities. If you're given a task to do, do it. Do it quickly. Don't push it off. I'll do that whenever I feel like it. It won't get done. It won't get done. We have missionaries that come through and they need support. Well, I'll support them in a few years. They need support now. It's easy to push things off into the future and push responsibility off in the future. But God wants us to do our own business. Paul encourages these saints to serve God with faithful performance of their own individual duties. Faithful performance. Do it. Do it right. Do I hear an amen? Yeah. Do it. And we expect that of everybody else. Isn't that interesting? We expect it from our grocery store. We'll be pushing our cart through Publix, which they usually have everything on the shelf. But you'll go to look for one special thing that you need for a recipe, and they don't have it. So what's the next thing you do? You go find somebody. Can you look in the back and see if they've got it? I don't know how many times I've done that through the years. I used to do it a lot at Winn-Dixie. Seemed like they were always running out during the daytime. But, you expect them, let's keep the food on the shelf here. I've got busyness here. Keep the shelves full. And then whenever it comes to us conducting our business, not so much. Be careful. Remember the old illustration of trying to pluck something out of a person's eye when you got a beam sticking out of yours? Yeah, let's use this. Let me help you with that, brother. Can you remove your glasses? I think you've got something inside your eye there. I need to take care of that. Mr. O'Pager's looking and said, that is the weirdest looking thing I've ever seen. What is going on? We set ourselves up as the great helper when we can't help because we got a beam sticking out of our eye and we don't even know it. How about let's taking care of this first? And then maybe helping somebody else. And that brings us to the third thing here of how we demonstrate love. To work with our own hands. Forever, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed the understanding of the virtue of labor. Please do not ever equate labor with the curse. This is where we get into trouble. Amen. Oh yeah, work is a result of the curse. No, it's not. Work existed before the curse. Work got harder because of the curse. I think we can all say amen to that. It got harder, but work is not the result of the curse. Work was one of the original virtues that God established in the garden. He gave Adam responsibilities. That's the previous one, studied to do your own business. He gave him responsibilities and expected him to carry them out each and every day. And then God would come in the cool of the evening and call Adam and Eve unto himself, and they would fellowship with each other. But it would be done after the day's labor. What a picture in the Bible. We labor with our hands, but we also rest with the Lord. That combination is important. It is important. This is from Dr. Alfred Plummer. It is important to note that these believers had jobs there at Thessalonica. Some were dock workers, some were skilled craftsmen, and others were working in a variety of trades. It's interesting that there are no exhortations to the wealthy and no warnings as to the deceitfulness of riches, although there was much wealth in Thessalonica. He just bypasses all that and talks to the general labor. There's work to be done. I'm sure in your neighborhood there's always that neighbor that doesn't cut their grass. We've got a few of those on our streets around us that they never seem to cut their grass. It looks like a jungle, you know. And once in a while, they'll come out there and they'll cut it and say, oh, man, that looks really good. And then the rest of the year, it's just weeds growing up, trash all out in the front yard, and things of that nature. Now, that's a person that's not conducting themselves properly. They're not laboring with their hands. My Uncle Ray, one of the testimonies yesterday at the memorial service from his boys was that their dad kept their yard immaculate. He made sure. He said he learned growing up from my grandmother, Granny, we called her, it was his mom, said, you always keep your lawn looking nice, have it all done Saturday, so when people come by on Sunday, they'll see you have a neat yard. Now that's not in the Bible, but it was ingrained in him. All throughout his years, he made sure his yard was all cleaned up by Saturday so it looked good on Sunday. Now, that's a pretty good testimony, I think. Though it was put into the boys that that's what you ought to do. You ought to have a neat yard, laboring with your hands. That's honorable. That's a good thing. There is nothing inconsistent between honest toil and personal holiness. Those two go hand in hand. And if there's no honest toil, will there be holiness? No, something's missing there. You cannot be holy for God when you're not carrying out your responsibilities and doing the right thing. The servants of God carry out their responsibilities. Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and he carried out that responsibility. Timothy, Titus, go down the list of all those faithful people. And by the way, the ones that weren't are also named. You remember Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He threw out his responsibilities before God and he pursued after the world. And he's forever memorialized in Scripture as someone who loved the world more than his duties to Christ. Finally, Dr. James Denny said this, "If we cannot be holy at our work, it is not worth taking any trouble to be holy at other things." To put yourself forward as holy before God when you don't conduct the honest responsibilities of life here upon this earth. The Christian life is practical. We don't quit doing our duties and become solely just be with God all day long. No, we have our duties. We're with God all day long anyway. But we carry out our responsibilities because God said so. God said so. There were evidently some in this church that had come to the belief that they had to get ready for the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord. And so they needed to quit their jobs. And they needed to stay home and wait. How many times has this played out over the centuries, by the way? You remember in 1987? There was this big push that in September the 15th, 1987, I'll never forget it. I had just graduated from college. This booklet came out and it was spread all over the country, millions of copies, that Jesus was coming back September the 15th, 1987, and there were literally hundreds of thousands of people that quit their jobs. Did God say to quit your jobs? No. The last words of Revelation, occupy till I come. Occupy. Do your duties. Carry out your responsibility. Work with your hands. Study to do your own business. Make it your ambition to have a quiet life until I come. And he's going to get into that passage of Scripture next time as we look at that about, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord. I don't want you to be misunderstanding here. He's coming back. But until he does, honest labor. Keep busy. Oh, this is so practical, is it not? I thank the Lord for the practicality of the Word of God. When the Bible begins, God creates the heavens and the earth. And he separates the light from the darkness. And he creates the whole earth and all the living things upon the earth. And his crowning achievement is the creation of man. And what does he do? He tells Adam, keep my garden. Well, why didn't he tell him to go soul winning? Why? Well, there weren't any souls to reach out to, number one. But number two, why didn't he have him doing these special worship times all day long to him for creating him? God's practical. He has a purpose and a mission for each one of us. He doesn't want us to be lazy. He doesn't want us to sit around and do nothing. He wants us to be busy with our hands doing what we can to honor and please him. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank you for the precious Word of God. It's so practical. But Lord, sometimes we get all twisted up. We misunderstand the Word of God, and then we start going in pathways that are dishonest. We're not carrying out the responsibilities that you've given us to do. I'm so thankful for the practicality of how their love was to abound more and more. It would be shown in a life that was ambitious to live quietly, to do their own business, and to work with their hands. Can't get any more basic than that. That's part and parcel of the Christian life. I pray that you'd work in a very powerful way in our hearts and lives. There are people that we need to speak to that don't know Jesus. There are friends that perhaps don't even have a copy of the Word of God. We can get them one. We can share the good news of Jesus Christ with them because he's radically changed us. There's never a time that we're to be idle, doing nothing. May we be faithful in carrying out the responsibilities that you've given us to do. Thank you, Father, for sharing this through the pen of the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit, that forever enshrined in Scripture is the virtue of hard work, honest toil, carrying out the responsibilities that we have to grow food, to build, to carry out daily responsibilities through trade and other experiences. Those are honest things, are good things. May we be faithful in that. And Father, I pray, we not lose sight of the fact that you gave through Jesus Christ the Holy Spirit to us, whereby we're empowered to love more and more. We're empowered to study to do our own business. We're empowered to make sure that we are honest and work and labor with our hands. The empowerment comes from Thee. We thank You for that. Lord, I pray that You'd move and work in our hearts and lives today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 456 in our hymn book, number 456. We're going to sing together, I Need Thee Every Hour, 456. Let's stand together as we conclude our service today. Father in heaven, how we need the Lord Jesus Christ every day and every hour. I pray that you would encourage your saints today, that they might carry out the responsibilities that you've given to them, that they would be a witness and testimony of the goodness and grace of God to others, sharing with them the redemption that can be found through Jesus Christ, the training and teaching of our children, all the different responsibilities that have been clarified in your word. I pray that we would be faithful in doing them, not in our own power and strength, but in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit of God. We pray, Father, for those who could not be with us today because of travel or sickness. We pray that you'd uphold them, protect them, keep them safe. And we give you the glory and praise for all you do in our hearts and lives, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.